We're going to begin with a test this morning in the Warren County Radio Bible School. Do you know your Bible? Well, I bet many of you do, but even if you do, some of these questions you might not remember the answer to. And when you hear the answer, you might be reminded, oh, I knew that, and that'll be okay, but you won't get the point. If you can tell me, before I give the answer, if you can tell yourself the answer to this question, then you can give yourself an A for the day. And the question today is, what was the other name of Moses' father-in-law? Now, we're in a lesson about Jethro's wise counsel. And in Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law is called Jethro. But he has another name. Do you know what that other name was? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Do you know the answer? What was Jethro's other name? Moses' father-in-law. Well, in Exodus chapter 18, he is Jethro. But if you will go back and read Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10, or Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29, you will find the name Reuel. R-E-U-E-L. Reuel. And so that was the other name for Moses' father-in-law, both Jethro and Reuel. Now, we're going to begin reading in class today where we left off in our last class, Exodus chapter 18. I think I'm going to begin in 18. We got down to 20, but let me read now Exodus chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. And here's what we read. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For the thing is too heavy for thee, for thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and bring thou the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them the statutes and the laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people also shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Now let's return to Elam's notes. And Elam suggests that the time of this lesson is about a year after the giving of the Ten Commandments. those Ten Commandments would give them the basis upon which those judgments would be made. And so we know they left Horeb and went and departed, Numbers 10 and verse 11, and it seems it occurred about that time. And Moses is asking for assistance, and Jethro's suggesting it. It seems we're at the same time. Moses accepted the will of God through Jethro and asked for assistance. Also, the sacrifices Jethro offered seemed to be according to the law, which, therefore, must have been given before Jethro offered the sacrifices and gave Moses the advice. Jethro visited Moses while the Israelites were encamped at Horeb. And, of course, that is where they receive the Ten Commandments. Now, there are three names to be considered in this story. We read about Jethro and Zipporah. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, you remember who Zipporah was? Well, that's his daughter, Moses' wife. Here are three names to consider: Reuel, Jethro, and Hobah. Reuel and Jethro are given as the names of Moses' father-in-law. Hobab as his brother-in-law. Reuel occurs in Exodus 2:18 and Numbers 10:29. Jethro in Exodus chapter 3 and 18. Hobab in Numbers 10 and Judges chapter 4. In Judges chapter 1:16, Hobab is called the Kenite. The word translated father-in-law is a general term, we're told, for a relative by marriage, and the connection only in which it stands can be determined its precise meaning. Some suppose that Jethro was the son of Reuel, and the same person as Hobab, that Reuel was dead, and at that time Jethro was mentioned. And Jethro continued Moses in the same employment of a shepherd in which Reuel had placed him. But both the American Revised Version and the Authorized Version put Reuel and Jethro as Moses' father-in-law and Hobab as his brother-in-law. These versions consider Reuel and Jethro to be the same person, and Hobab is called the son of Reuel. Thus, then, we will let the matter stand. Jethro was a priest. Zipporah, as we have learned, Jethro's daughter, was one of seven of his daughters and was Moses' wife and the mother of two sons. We've already learned the names of Moses' sons and why he so named them. Jethro, at this time, took Zipporah and her sons back to Moses. Moses had left them with Jethro while he had gone to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. It is hardly possible that the circumstance of circumcising her son, recorded in Exodus 3:20-26, and causing Zipporah to call Moses a bridegroom of blood, had anything to do with her return to her father. It is more than probable that Moses, seeing the dangers to which his wife and children would be exposed in Egypt, left them with his father-in-law until he had accomplished his work of delivering the people. Having heard of Moses' success, and of all God had done for him and his people, and that he destroyed the Egyptians, Jethro saw it was a fit time for Zipporah and her sons to rejoin Moses. Moses took no advantage of his position to bestow places of honor and distinction among his sons. They occupied the simple rank of Levites, while their cousin, the son of Aaron, had the distinction of being the office of high priest. Zipporah doubtless remained a faithful wife and mother, but in the great work of Moses and in his disinterestedness, she was not afterward mentioned. This is a fine example to the preachers who are constantly referring in their sermons to their wives and children and homes. Moses was a humble and meek man, free from self-importance and self-exaltation and exploitation of his family. Now we read about Jethro's joy. since it is stated in verse 7 that Moses went out to meet his father-in-law after Jethro had said in verse 6 he had come with Moses, his wife, and children, it seems that this announcement was made by a messenger. Then Moses went out and did obeisance, that is, bowed himself down before Jethro. This was a general token of respect. Next, Moses kissed his father-in-law. Then they asked each other their welfare. After this salutation, Moses took Jethro into his tent. In one brief sentence, he passes over all that God had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, all they had suffered, and how God had delivered them. It required no little time for Moses to relate all these facts. Jethro rejoiced at all of this, blessed Jehovah, and said he now knew that Jehovah was greater than all gods. He was greater than all gods in the very thing wherein he had shown himself mightier than all of the idols of Egypt, in the cruel and tyrannical and constantly increasing bondage heat upon the Israelites. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were haughty and had acted proudly in oppressing God's people. But now their pride had been abased, and Jehovah had showed that he was above all gods. This was a battle between the true and living God and the false gods of Egypt. Now Jethro worshipped God. After the above congratulations and expressions of joy and thanksgiving to God, Jethro offered a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Jethro was a priest when Moses first met him in Exodus chapter 2. The facts show he was a priest of God and served God. His blessing Jehovah and declaring that Jehovah is greater than all gods in verses 10 and 11 show this. He had the right then to offer sacrifices to God. The burnt offering was wholly consumed, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. Every part of it was Jehovah's portion, and it was therefore wholly consumed on the altar. Only a part of the other sacrifices mentioned are consumed on the altar. The rest was eaten after the blood that had been offered to God, as God would direct in Numbers chapter 7. Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Parts of the sacrifices here mentioned were doubtless eaten by Aaron and the elders with Jethro. Before God. Those words are not without significance. It may mean before the tabernacle. As we have supposed, the tabernacle had then been erected. Everything with us should be done before God. All that we do in word or deed must be done in the name of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now we're going to go back and read the text and have some explanatory notes. We read in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now to judge the people, well, that was to hear their complaints against one another, to adjust their differences, and to instruct them from the law of God. There were so many troubles and so many people that they stood about Moses from morning unto the evening, being in servitude so long, and very much untaught and unchained in the worship of God, and so much inclined to murmur and complain. One is not astonished that the Israelites flocked to Moses to adjust their difficulties and to settle their troubles. With all the teaching and examples of the Old Testament and teaching and examples of Christ and the apostles before them, many church members cannot keep from complaining, and they can't keep themselves out of trouble. And they often go to the elders or to the preacher and ask them, because they should know the law of God and can help them know how to apply it to their lives. We'll continue in another class.